Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A new play in Yuba City is adapting a famous 1954 film that was blacklisted during the McCarthy era for alleged ties to communism. Salt of the Earth will be performed at the Sutter Theater Center for the Arts starting tomorrow through Saturday, coinciding with the film's 70th anniversary. We're now joined by Mark Flax, a professor of sociology at Yuba College, and the play's creator, director, Lydia Christ, as well as Maria Ornelas, who plays the lead female character named Esperanza. Good afternoon. Welcome. Thanks for making the trip down.
Hi. Thank you.
Down Highway 99? All right, Mark, I want to start with you because you're the creator behind this play. For people who don't know about Salt of the Earth, what is it?
Well, Salt of the Earth was a movie that came out in 1954. There were several members of what was called the Hollywood 10 who had been blacklisted, and they still wanted to make movies. They decided, since they'd been blacklisted for making subversive films, which they hadn't ever done, that it might be a good idea to actually make one. And they called this a crime to fit the punishment. And so they were looking for a story, and they were in New Mexico. One of the producer was, and heard about a great story of a strike at a mine where the strike was going to be lost until the women took over. And so when they heard that story, they decided to make a movie that Hollywood have never would have made about working people struggling for justice.
So the story and the themes aren't communist in nature. It was just that the people who put on and created this film had ties, or during the McCarthy era, were blacklisted.
Right. And I would say these were California people. They were Hollywood people. So they weren't they had a lot of, some of them were members of the Communist Party. But in making this film, they ended up having a lot of tension and conflict with, people in the party who wanted stories told in a certain way. They had conflict, too, with, Hollywood studios that wanted stories told in a different way. And so they really felt that this was a chance to have really free creativity to make something. And I would also mention, it was a very democratic production. It didn't ever recommend. The movie doesn't ever touch on communism as an ideology, as this idea of government ownership of production. But it definitely is kind of subversive in the idea that it promotes democracy, and the idea that almost every area of life can be a time to be democratic, whether that's in the private home, in the public square, in the union hall. And so I think that was kind of radical for its time, and maybe still is.
When did you get the inspiration to adapt Salt of the Earth into a play?
So last year, I decided to revive my own acting interests at Yuba College and tried out for the play there, and I was involved with it. And the director of that play asked me, did I know any stories that featured meaty roles for Latina actresses in particular? And because we have quite a few people like that at Yuba College, and I went home and thought about it, and I remembered Salt of the Earth because I personally have a connection to that movie and to the blacklist, and I wondered if anybody had ever turned it into a play, and they hadn't, so I proposed that, and he thought it was a good idea. And that one of the amazing things about this whole process is everybody I've ever suggested it to thought it was a great idea, and all these people have kind of jumped onto it without any effort at all by me, so so that was, and I don't consider myself a creator. This production is definitely the work of everybody. It's a collective creation, which the movie itself was like that too. They say the script was read by 400 people before the shooting started, and in fact, many of the actors and actresses in the movie were actual miners in New Mexico that got to be in the movie, and because Michael Wilson, the author, wasn't sure how to tell their story, he was very willing to have them help him shape the story. And so when he had elements of it that they didn't agree with, he took them out. And in the same way, I submitted a script to start this process, but all kinds of changes have been made to what I submitted. And it really reflects everybody, and especially Lydia's vision.
Yeah. You mentioned that you have a personal connection. What is it?
Well, my parents were blacklisted as school teachers in New York City for their work in the labor movement back in the 50s. My parents were members of the founding members of the new, what's called the New Left. And the New Left ended up rediscovering salt and showing it again in America. And my dad used to show it in his classes at UCSB. He was a sociology professor there for many years. And I used to get dragged sometimes to go see it. And so it's always been in my consciousness. Also, there's a labor organization in our community up there called Western Farm Workers Association. And they have been showing the movie for quite some time. They show it to help educate their members about the labor movement. And so I started showing it in my classes, too, a few years back. And I noticed students of mine, including Maria, who's here, responded really well to that story. And I was kind of amazed that this old independent film from the 50s, low-budget film, communist film, was people nowadays liked it. And So I really wanted to do that.
All right, Lydia, I mean, you're the director of this production. How did you get involved in this?
So I am a member of Convergence Theater Company, which is where the play is running out of. And Mark originally came to our artistic director, Matthew DeMeritt, and said, hey, I have this great play. I have this great idea. I need a director. And so Matt told me all about it. And so I went and I watched the movie and we were talking about it together. And I was just throwing out all of these ideas and I was getting so excited. And he was like, great, it sounds like it's your play. And I was like, okay. So, yeah.
What excited you most about it after you watched the film?
The fact that it was created in the 1950s and it could be like one of the most feminist things that I've seen in a long time. It's really interesting, very rare to have a feminist piece come out of Hollywood back then.
Yeah. So. Well, and Maria, you're a big part in this. I mean, you're playing a lead role, Esperanza. When did you first hear about this play?
I heard from it when I was volunteering with Western Farm Workers. When I first watched it, I was so amazed. And I was like, wow, I need to be a part of that play. When Flax let me know that he was going to start play and everything, I was like, let me know. I want to be Esperanza.
What was it about the themes behind Salt of the Earth that really struck a chord with you?
The themes that really struck me were the woman advocating for, you know, justice and having the ability to have a voice and being able to participate in decision making. That's what struck me.
And right, because the story is about Mexican-American miners in New Mexico, and they go on strike because they want better working conditions. They're getting paid less than their white counterparts. So there's one theme there when it comes to labor and working practices, but there's also another level of sexism as well in the home. And so you help capture that with your role, Esperanza. Tell us about her.
Right. So Esperanza is a 35-year-old Mexican-American woman. She is a mother of three, a miner's wife. During this time, she is faced with a lot of inequalities, gender inequality, racial discrimination. So in the beginning, she starts off very timid, very lonely because her husband's on a strike. But in the end, Esperanza discovers that she has this strength, this hidden strength, and she advocates for the woman. And honestly, knowing that she lets the woman and everyone know that we're not your enemies, we work together and we can make a difference working collectively. So that was awesome.
I mean, I go back to, you mentioned you were volunteering with the Western Farm Workers Association. That's a union. It's not a theater company.
Right.
Do you have a background in acting?
No experience in acting. So I was very shocked when I got the role, but I was honored. And it was very like a blessing, to be honest, because it's really an honor to be able to play Esperanza. She brings so much dignity and status to Mexican-American women.
Mm-hmm. Lydia, what stands out to you about Maria? And I mean, she obviously got the role.
Yeah. Yeah, Maria is such a great actor. She's never acted before, but she has so much raw talent already. You would have no idea. Watching her act, you would have no idea that she's never acted before. She's so talented. And I can see the qualities that Esperanza has, that strength. I can see that in her. And it's really, really cool to watch.
Mark, I mean, you adapted this from a film. I mean, what's unique about this play's adaptation?
Well, the one difference is it's in color. The movie is black and white. I also, one of the things I don't love about the movie is the soundtrack. It's just very kind of in your face. And so I said to Lydia, I really hope we can bring some good music into this production. And she has a great idea of how to do that. I won't reveal it, but I think the soundtrack for this production is going to be great. And so just seeing live people on stage in full color, it adds something to the story, I think, that that the movie can't convey. And just the kind of the way I want to say it is it kind of puts the community in community theater, because this play happens to have a whole village in it. And so we have all, you know, several generations of people. We have several different ethnic groups going on. I happen to play a part or two in it. That's another criticism of the movie I have, is some of the white characters are very one-dimensional, and you know, they're trying to make a point with them, but it would be a stronger movie if those characters were a little more fleshed out. I don't know, and so I play some of these white racists. I don't know if I flesh them out any better than the movie does, but that's another difference.
Given, Mark, like, the production was also made in partnership with the Western Farm Workers Association. I mean, how did you work together with a union for a play?
Well, they let their members know that we were trying to do this, and so quite a few of them came out to be part of it. Especially, we have some children in the play, and I don't know how many parents would be willing to subject their kids to the hard work of a play like this with adults and all, if they weren't committed to a larger kind of cause. And this play, by the way, we really need to emphasize, is all being supported by a grant from the Upstate Creative Corps, Upstate California Creative Corps, which is a big California program to support the arts and to promote certain messages in the art that's being supported. Ours particular messages that we're emphasizing are social justice and public health and civic engagement. And all three of those are pretty prominent in the play. And so I'm forgetting what the question was.
But. you answered it. I mean, I think an important question, which is more logistical, is, OK, this is going to premiere tomorrow. It's going to run through Saturday. What do you want people to know, Mark? I mean, we know where it's going to be, where are tickets available? And I think there's going to be a Q&A session as well, right?
Hopefully. So it's free. That's one thing we want to let people
Great.
Know. They can reserve their tickets online if they go to yubasutterarts.org. And hopefully you'll have a link too for them. And
we do.
And if they don't, I mean, you can also just show up, and hopefully we'll still have seats for people. And the Q&A, so Becca Wilson is the daughter of Michael Wilson, who wrote the play, and she's coming to see it. And she would love to answer people's questions about it on Friday night, if people are willing to hang out after the show. And it's only about an hour and a half with an intermission, so people should still have some mental energy for hanging out and learning more about. And Michael Wilson's a fascinating person, and Becca has a lot of fascinating things to say about him.
That is exciting. Lydia, this is all coming together. You're the director. What do you hope the audience takes away this weekend?
Actually, Maria has this fantastic line. She says, "I want to rise and I want to push everything else up as I go." And that has just been stuck in my head lately. That is what I want everyone, cast, crew, audience to remember, is that we can rise and we can push everyone else up around us. Mm. So,
and Maria, is this going to be one and done, or are you going to throw your hat into more theater?
Honestly, I've been thinking about it. I was like, acting's fun. I might look into more plays. So you might see me, Lydia.
Good.
Well, Mark, Lydia, and Maria, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Congratulations, too. Thanks. It'll be a great time this weekend. That is Mark Flax, Lydia Crist, and Maria Ornelas, who are cast and crew members of the new production, Salt of the Earth. The play will be performed at the Sutter Theater Center for the Arts starting tomorrow through Saturday. And as we close, we're going to listen to No Nos Moverán from the Smithsonian Folkways Recordings. The song was an anthem adopted by labor and civil rights activists and is sung by the cast of Salt of the Earth. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, send us an email, insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Sarit Lashinsky and Jen Picard. Our digital producer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director and audio engineer is Mark Jones, and our original show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow. No, no more.